You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
What up, world? Welcome on all to another episode of The Ocho, presented to you in partnership, as always, with SB Nation's bloggingtheboys.com. My name, RJ Ochoa. You know me, of course, from BTB and from right here as your humble host on The Ocho. It is Thursday, the third day, April 9th, 2020. Hope all is well wherever you are. Hope you're happy. Hope you're safe. Hope you're healthy. Hope you're practicing social distancing and taking care of yourself and following all necessary protocols. We're getting close to the weekend. And in fact, today, Thursday, April 9th, again, the third day, shout out to Joseph Tribbiani, marks 2 weeks until the NFL draft. Oh yeah, that's right. The NFL draft will get going 2 weeks from today in a completely virtual sense. It's going to be interesting, needless to say, to see how that unfolds for all 32 NFL teams, and namely the Dallas Cowboys. When it comes to the NFL draft, the Cowboys are pretty known for picking somebody in terms of their first round pick from the people that they brought in as pre-draft visitors. The Cowboys, just like every NFL team, typically get 30 pre-draft visitors, and they have their local Dallas day. Obviously, with social distancing amid the COVID-19 pandemic, things are different. They're interviewing players virtually over Zoom, over Skype, over FaceTime, whatever the case may be. And you know, we always, anytime something like this happens, we put together a tracker for you on the site so that you can, you know, have everything, all the information that you want, all the information that you need. And we have a tracker available for you with all reported visitors. I'm using air quotes, visitors for the Cowboys in terms of players they have interviewed virtually. You can check out bloggingtheboys.com. It's at the top. You'll see it right there. As of the time of this recording, which is about 7 p.m. Wednesday night, there have been 8 players that have met with the Dallas Cowboys prior to, getting ready for the 2020 NFL draft. There's Cordell Iwagu, Christian Fulton, Denzel Mims, Jalen Hurts, Zach Bond, Justin Madubuike, Kenneth Murray, and Raekwon Davis. Now, a lot of these players and a lot of these meetings the Cowboys have shared clips of on their own social channels and on the mothership, DallasCowboys.com, which has been interesting. You know, they're like puzzle pieces, right? Like trying to figure out why the Cowboys have shared these particular interviews. I guess we'll find out 2 weeks from today. Who knows? But either way, just so you know, our tracker is live and ready for you. It is updated as often as necessary. There is never something that will not go on the tracker, so you have that at your disposal. We have had so many fun guests and so many fun friends here on the show, here lately to, you know, get different perspectives and, you know, have fun conversations with different people from all walks of life across the NFL and otherwise, and today is no different. Casey Phillips, the team reporter for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, joined us to talk about a variety of things. Obviously, one of the newest members of the Dallas Cowboys, Joe McCoy, spent a majority of his career to this point with the Buccaneers. Casey has covered him, has reported on him, gotten to know him, and she shared some really interesting stuff, both on the field and off the field, about Joe McCoy and his personality and what he brings to the Cowboys. Casey's from Dallas, and so she has, a history with the city and athletics in the area, and she's experienced a lot of really interesting things in her career, and so she was kind enough to walk us through all of those as well. So I'm not going to delay you anymore. Let's go ahead and get to it. From the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Casey Phillips joins us next, right here on The Ocho. Pleased to be joined now by a very special guest, the one and only friend of the show, the internationally famous. You see her doing all things with regards to the Buccaneers, and I have some questions about Disney World. Again, the one and only Casey Phillips. Casey, thank you for taking the time to join us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm excited.
What are you most proud of yourself during the quarantine life? Obviously, we're all being safe and practicing social distancing, but have you like done any home projects or anything that you hadn't had time to get to that suddenly you did?
Ooh, yeah. So I don't know about home projects, because I know that that's a fast way for me to end up in the hospital separate from corona. So I haven't really tried that as much. But I definitely have been trying to read some of the books that have been sitting on my shelves for years that I just keep saying I will read. And I realize now if I don't read them in this time, I might as well throw them away. It's just not going to happen. So I've read some of those, and I started trying yoga, which has been it has kicked my butt for sure. And I'm very happy it is something I'm just doing alone in my apartment that no one else can see how terrible I am at it.
Yeah, I when I was first courting my wife, I went to a yoga class with her because, you know, I had a lot of interest in her, obviously. And it was.
Yeah, you must have.
Yeah, it was very, very, very difficult to say the least. So she is a big yogi. You know, it's difficult. That's, I think we can leave it there. What books have you read?
So I've been, I have one coming up here that's going to be about, some college football stuff of just the way that the systems of recruiting work. And I've got one about the power of habit, and I've got one about, how Teddy Roosevelt actually kind of helped to save football at one point. So I don't know that story at all, but it's called The Big Scrum. I'm pretty excited about that one. And, a couple, books about religion and world religion and apologetics. I'm just trying all the intellectual things here, some sports, some religion, some, you know, feature stuff. It's just, I've been all over the place.
That's a lot. I'm not someone that, that can like read multiple books at once. I know, there are people like that. So, I respect it. Okay. So you have had, I have to imagine, maybe the busiest couple of weeks of your, maybe not your professional life, but certainly in a long time with Tom Brady joining the Buccaneers. What's your life been like lately?
Yeah, man, it's been so crazy, you know, between both Tom Brady joining the team and releasing new uniforms and things that normally would just be such, you know, marquee things where you would be running around like a chicken with your head cut off. And I very much have been, but it's so different working from home as compared to being in the facility. So I've had to get a little creative with things. I've had to learn how to do all sorts of Skype interviews, and I've built myself a set here in my apartment. To be able to have a background that also includes some of our sponsors and Bucks gear and looks good and has good lighting, all that stuff. And you even gotten a microphone that can work for my cell phone. And we even are also working on our schedule release videos. It's just all this stuff that would normally be so easy and sort of wash, rinse, repeat, that we know how, what we're doing when it's in the, you know, in our normal building, but have definitely had to get creative here. And I've been recording some voiceovers in my closet where it's not as echoey, just some really funny things about figuring all of that out. But yeah, it has been incredibly busy. But the nice thing is I have not gotten a chance to be bored yet in this quarantine. I keep seeing memes and people talking about, you know, bored in the house, and I'm in the house bored. And I'm like, man, that has not happened for me yet because of all these crazy things we've been going on. So that's kind of been a blessing.
Yeah, I see. You know, I mean, the NFL has provided so much to do, obviously, in the last couple of weeks, that it's kind of hard to, you know, watch Tiger King or whatever everybody else is seemingly finding the time to do. And I kind of feel like the Bucs have had, and I think you could probably play this game for every NFL team, but you've probably had something like every other year, it feels like every, there's a big thing, a big sort of landmark thing for the Bucs. Like last year was Bruce Arians and whatnot, and then Sue landing there and everything. I mean, does it kind of feel like that? Like every year you're kind of maybe like, okay, this is the year we're gonna calm down a little bit, but it just gets more intense.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. But the great thing is for someone like me, and I'm sure you can understand this, that calm down may be nice for a personal life, but it's not nearly as fun for a professional life. So I have loved that. Yeah, I mean, basically every year that I've been with the Bucks, there has been some big new thing that gets our fans excited and that we have to talk about in the show. I mean, that's what you want in my job, is content. And we've definitely had plenty of that over the last few years.
So I know that Gerald McCoy leaving the Bucks was sort of a landmark thing, and I want to talk about what you think about him fitting in with the Cowboys. But what was that like when he, you know, when that dissolution happened? I have to imagine, you know, Bucks fans took it really hard just because he'd been around for so long, and I mean, one of the better players in franchise history. What was that all like?
Yeah, it was tough. It's one of those moments where you remember that football is a business, but just knowing that doesn't make the business aspects of it any easier. And he really was a beloved member of this team, this city. He had been here for so long. And anytime you get to watch someone essentially grow up in their career, that when you draft them and bring them in and they've only played for that one franchise, that I think there is even more affinity for them among the fans, just feeling like they've gotten to watch them grow. And, you know, everybody knew he was so outspoken about his family and his faith and who he was. And he worked so hard to do so much in the community that, you know, every year at Christmas, the whole D line would do an event. And then Gerald would also do another separate event. So he would just give insane amounts of money and time and gifts and do incredible visits with kids. And I mean, just really endeared himself to the community, and everyone in that locker room loved him. He was absolutely a leader. And I know it was very hard for some of those guys, especially like Levante David, who'd been there, you know, through everything with him. And I think Levante's even a godfather to one of his kids. And you can just see the way that Gerald is so close with everyone in that locker room, that when he wasn't able to go back to his son's senior night when he was playing, guys, the likes of Mike Evans and Levante David showed up to go be, you know, like the dad figure at the son's senior night game. So he is someone that obviously really makes everyone in that locker room love him, not only as a player, but as a person.
I think the whole world got to know him, not on a deeper level, but when the Bucks were on Hard Knocks, that was now 2 years ago, if I'm correct. And so I vividly remember the scene in the weight room where he like fires on the Oklahoma fight song and everything. And he's had a personality that is, you know, more colorful and more fun, you know, that people have gotten to see like on different, you know, NFL films productions, like the Top 100 or whatever. Is that something, you know, that is apparent, like in every aspect of him? I mean, that's just who he is all the time.
Oh yeah. You definitely know when Gerald is around, and it definitely made him one of my favorite people to work with and interview. You know, my Twitter handle is KC Reporting, and whenever he would see me in the hallways or anything, even still now, he'd yell out KC Reporting, like anytime he saw me. And one of my first things, if not the first thing I covered when I joined the Bucks, was actually, you know, he's this huge superhero fan. And right around the time I joined the Bucks, I think it was a Marvel movie was coming out. I don't remember exactly which one, since there's been approximately 5,000 of them. He bought out a whole theater and brought all these Bucks fans to go watch that movie. And that was one of the first things that I got to cover. And just seeing this guy that is, he's huge, but he's such a giant kid, and was so excited about this movie and excited about bringing all these people to get a chance to see it. And I mean, any interview we did, like talking about, whether it was talking about superheroes or anything else, I knew if I just wanted something fun, personality, loud, outgoing, smiley, happy, all of that stuff, he was a go-to guy. Absolutely tons of personality. I cannot imagine that Cowboys fans are not going to fall in love with him immediately.
So I also remember vividly in 2016 at this December, it was the game that Zeke jumped into the kettle, which I'm sure you remember very vividly. And that that game, I got flexed into Sunday Night Football because the Bucks were kind of making a run late. And I believe, I could be wrong, I believe that's the only primetime game that Joe McCoy played. I think he even said that somewhere. I don't know. I feel like there's this sort of like cosmic alignment between him with the Cowboys. I mean, considering that game was at AT&T Stadium and whatnot. I mean, and obviously he's got the Oklahoma connection and now his son and everything. I mean, if you had to, you know, guess at one point, you know, when, you know, he was going to play somewhere else, I mean, could you have seen the Cowboys? Like, does the 2-2 make sense for you there?
1,000%, because again, he is such a family guy and such a loyal guy, that the OU connection, his son now being there, it being closer to home for him where he grew up, and just the Cowboys in general and Gerald make sense to me. That the Cowboys are known as the franchise with the personality, right? That you've got all the way from Jerry Jones down, that it's known as a team that regardless of how you feel about them, everyone has opinions, thoughts. It's not ever an under the radar team. And Gerald is also a guy that can handle the spotlight of a Cowboys type of an environment, and is going to relish and thrive in an environment where there is that kind of attention, spotlight, media presence. Like, he just seems like he was meant for a market like that.
I think the question that everybody has when free agency happens outside of like a Tom Brady is why is this guy a free agent? Like, that becomes, you know, like the debate, you know, well, if this guy was so great, why would he be a free agent? I know it was a while ago, but can you re-explain why the Buccaneers moved on from Joe McCoy?
You know, that's not something that I really was privy to in those kind of meetings. Of course, that's that is far above my pay grade. But, you know, I think that, again, it's just one of those things that can be a business decision, because Gerald is a great player. And, you know, I think that any team is lucky to have him. But sometimes, even if guys are still really good. I mean, as you've seen by us signing Tom Brady, that no one's questioning Tom Brady as the GOAT. And he became a free agent. So I'm pretty sure if it can happen to Tom Brady, it can happen to anybody. But I think that everybody fully appreciated everything he had done here. And for whatever reason, it was just, it wasn't be a fit here or whatever, but I don't think it was anything negative about Gerald of who he is as a person or a player. And I think that he still has plenty left in the tank and plenty left to contribute to you guys.
Hey guys, going to get back to Casey in just a second, but before we do, going to take a very quick break to hear a word from our sponsors.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Welcome back, everybody. Let's get back to it. Casey Phillips from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers right here on The Ocho. My last thing on Gerald McCoy, and then I definitely want to get your thoughts on the uniforms. And I have, interestingly enough, some Disney World questions. But I heard Gerald on an interview with Marty Smith, and he was talking about, you know, talking to Mike McCarthy in terms of joining the Cowboys and whatnot. And he kind of insinuated, he didn't say this, you know, in terms of his words, but he kind of, to me, it felt like Mike McCarthy sold him as, you can be to the Cowboys, to my Cowboys, what Charles Woodson was to my Packers, this veteran that kind of joins in late, that is this leader, this voice that the young guys kind of need. At what point would you say, you know, in terms of your career covering Gerald, would you say you saw him be a leader? Like, what point did it click? Maybe it was like when you first arrived. I know you mentioned, you know, the movie theater story, but like on the field type things.
I think that something, if anybody watched Hard Knocks, they saw, and anybody else is familiar, is he still carried pads and helmets of his teammates in training camp, even though that's normally a duty relegated to the rookies. That he's a guy who, he wants to be in there working harder, whether, again, on the field and off, that the amount of effort he puts into things, whether it's football, his family, his faith, he is not a guy that will do anything half-heartedly, that he's going to give 1,000% effort to whatever it is he's doing. And he's not going to look down on younger guys because they're younger. He wants to help them. And, you know, even guys like Viavea, I watched him with other linemen, other guys that he would, after practice, put in time with them working on some pass rush moves or, you know, anything like that, that he was always going to be, you know, first out there and last to lead. So not only a guy that could lead vocally, but definitely was a lead by example guy.
I think that you just really made a lot of Cowboys fans happy. I'm not sure. I know your world is all Bucks, but last year the Cowboys didn't have a first round pick because of Amari Cooper and everything, but their second round pick was a defensive tackle out of UCF, Tristan Hill. And he had some issues with the Cowboys last year. Some attitude questions and fell asleep in a meeting. There were reports of that. And so it sounds like, it sounds like Gerald McCoy is the perfect guy for someone like that to look up to.
I can't imagine someone that would be a better example to a young person on the team, because again, there are guys who are model citizens. There are guys who are model players. To find one that is both is of course what you're really wanting. And that's what Gerald can offer, is showing these guys how to be a pro, that he's definitely one of those people that knows how to be a pro, how to go about his job, how to stay out of trouble off the field, that he can really be an example setter in everything.
So, Casey, what did you think of the uniforms? I'm sure you've been answering that question a lot lately, but I mean, were they what you wanted?
Hey, I'm all about it, because the thing is, I've been getting grilled about the uniforms the last few months by people and haven't been able to say anything. So I'm actually thrilled now that I can finally talk about it and not be worried about letting something slip. So, I mean, they're incredible. I don't know how you could not love them. They're back to the glory days of the Super Bowl era, while also keeping some of the updated parts that they added in these last uniforms. There's even, a little bit of orange as a nod to the creamsicle days. And then the all pewter alternate, that's the one that has everyone buzzing, that everyone has talked about, that is so unique. It's so different. It's awesome. And our players definitely are fired up about all of them, but especially that one, that I got to be there the day that we did all the shooting for the release video and photos, and Devin White, Levante David, and Chris Godwin were the ones that we used for that. So we were all sitting there as we're, kind of between things that they were doing, like between the photos and the videos, whatever, and as they're getting set up, and they were all talking about it, and they were like, yeah, that pewter look is so cool. Like, it is so unique. And the word that all of our players and our fans keep using about the uniforms is clean. Everyone's just like, man, these are clean. These are sharp. They are simple, but still stylish and kind of flashy in some ways. That it's just such a return to the roots, the origins of this team, while keeping all the updated stuff and the newer, cleaner logo that we had. And I love the pirate ships on the shoulders, that they're just awesome. That, I just got my first one of them, and I can't wait to be able to go get out and get that pewter one as well.
I agree. Clean's a good word, especially the all white one looks fantastic. I'm not gonna lie, I'm a little hesitant to see the all pewter like on a Tampa Bay 1 p.m. Eastern day. It'll look magnificent, on a nighttime game. I'm interested, because that sun is bright. I'm sure that sun has been an issue for you at times, I would imagine.
Yes, I have learned that for sure. No, I think that typically especially early in the season, they pick ahead of the season when they're going to wear what jerseys. Mm-hmm. So it's not like you're just like waking up that morning and picking it. And so typically we tend to wear our white for a really long time into the season, because we know how hot and sunny Tampa can be. So I don't know that that's going to be an issue in some of those, earlier ones. It's probably going to be a lot of those white ones, and it'll probably be some of those either a Thursday night, a Monday night, a Sunday night, or a, December game before you're going to be rocking some of the red or the pewter potentially.
I've long thought that the Bucks equipment staff need perhaps more credit than everybody across the NFL, because like with all the modern helmets and like all the orifices on them, like it's got to be so difficult to get that flag on there. You know what I mean? Like, and to not have it, like it's like the measurement has to be precise. You know what I mean? Like it's like the Chargers lightning bolt or whatever, like you can be off, by an inch if you really want to be there. But the Bucks flag, you don't have a lot of room for error. You know what I mean?
Yeah, our equipment guys are awesome. Our guy Brad and all of his guys are incredible. That they just watching everything they do to get. I think that's one of the most underrated parts of the NFL in general, is the time, energy, and effort it takes for the equipment guys to load, thousands upon thousands of pounds of equipment for a road trip, to just the sheer amount of laundry they have to do, to be, re-sewing parts of ripped jerseys. I mean, there's just so much that goes into it that people don't realize. But yeah, I think that flag is probably not as forgiving. I remember when I worked for the Rams, they had a similar issue with the horns.
Good point.
On the side of their helmet, that there was only like one guy in the building who was really good at being able to get those down without there being a wrinkle. So again, all the little things people don't even realize that take a lot of effort on the side of the team that isn't the players.
You mentioned the Rams, also part of your history. So I was going to ask you at the end of this, so I'll kind of spoil it now. Like, what's a, and I mean, you're reading and you're doing a lot more worthy things with your time than like watching Netflix. But something I've gotten into in the quarantine is this documentary on Disney Plus that's about the Imagineers at Disney World. And that was what I actually...
Yep. I watched the whole thing.
Okay, see, I'm an episode in, and I went to Texas A&M, so that's why I love Mike Evans, and I wanted to be an Imagineer at first before like I got into sports and everything, and so I find that world fascinating. What did you do at Disney World, and just everything? I mean, I could do like 5 hours on this subject alone.
I love that. So I was in their graduate intern program. So they have a college program, which is like people that are in their undergrad, and they're the ones usually working in the park. They're the ones at the rides, at the cast registers, all that stuff. Then they have a graduate program, which is if you're either in your master's degree or just having finished it. And that's what I did right after I finished my master's. And it's a year long and it's full time that you're in the offices. And it's more of sort of the business side of Disney. So I joke that I had one of the least Disney jobs you can have because I was just in an office building. And I was in their sports public relations department. So we worked to get promotion for and coverage of and execution of different anything that had to do with sports that went down on a Disney property. So that could be anything from... I was there during the NFL lockout. And so while guys weren't allowed to work out at their facility, we had a bunch of NFL players working out at the Wide World of Sports.
Right.
We also had Olympians training there for the next Summer Olympics. You have the little kid events, which was funny because I actually played in that when I was a little kid. I played in the national basketball championships there 2 different years when I was younger. And then you have the races, like the half marathons and marathons that go through the parks. And then I even got to work the Super Bowl parade when Eli Manning came, when the Giants won. So I got to do that. And then even just athletes wanting to visit the parks, we would sort of help orchestrate their visit, and then like photo or video coverage of their visit to promote that they had gone there.
Wow, that is so fascinating. I mean, that is incredible. And you kind of went full circle on a lot of things there. Like Dak Prescott worked out of the Wild World of Sports last year. So that was well done. But what did you think of the Imagineers documentary then? Like, it's a documentary, but is it like true to your experience? I know that's not exactly what you were doing, but things you saw and things you heard.
Yeah, the part that really struck me and that what I loved about Disney, so I took the job simply because it to me seemed like a really good job for getting into my career. It wasn't even actually because of the Disney side. I went to Disney a bunch as a kid, loved it, but wasn't one of those people that thought of it as like a place that I would want to go as an adult. Like I thought of that as when I was a kid, and then when I have kids, I'll go.
Right.
But I wasn't the person that was like, I'm going to do anything and everything to work at Disney, so I'm going to take this job. It was just an internship that I saw that got sent to my school. And then when I got there, they make you go through something called traditions. And it's
Oh my gosh, that sounds awesome.
It really is. It's this hours long class where they basically teach you about all the history and traditions of Disney. And it's essentially what indoctrinates you into the idea of what would Walt do. And you hear that in the Imagineers documentary, is that that's what keeps everybody making sure that Disney is still going in the direction that Walt had in mind for it when he made it. And by the end of this class, when they show you how everything about Disney really is supposed to be the happiest place on earth where dreams come true. And they talked about even things like, hey, if you see a kid drop his ice cream, you just get him another one. Like your job, if you work there, is to make everyone's visit the best it possibly can be. And by the end of that class, I was sold. I was like, this is the greatest thing in the world. Like, I love this. I want to work here. This is incredible. Because everyone there really believes in that. They're really all there for that idea of we want to make this the happiest place on earth. So that was something that I really loved about the Imagineers stuff. And even when you're not there yet, but there's an episode where they talk about how I believe it's the Japanese park that there was like an earthquake and they had to close it for a while. And there's all this devastation around Japan. And, when they finally reopened it again, they talked about how this was so symbolic and meaningful to everybody when they got to go back in, that it was this idea of not only normal, but again, this place where the outside world doesn't exist. You go and like everyone can just forget about all of the trauma that's been happening. And you see, they talked about how people were just sprinting to Mickey to give him a hug and how happy they were. And one of the Imagineers that worked at that park was sort of crying in this interview, just saying like, this is why we do what we do, is that like, this is what we're supposed to be giving to people, is that no matter what else is going on in your life, you can come to Disney and just be so happy. And that really resonated with me. And it didn't necessarily apply to us quite as much on the sports front as it does in the park, but I definitely got that feeling with everything that we did at the parks, and it made me really love what Disney was about. And it's honestly something I've tried to carry with me the rest of my career. I think that starting there helped me, that now, like, when I have fans reach out to me of, hey, like, my kid, you know, is a big fan of this, you know, could you come talk to them at training camp or whatever, like, I still think about that sort of almost customer service mentality that Disney has, of what I can do to make sure that everyone's visit to Buccaneers training camp or to a game is as awesome as possible.
That was really, really helpful and uplifting and inspiring and fascinating. That was a professional, like, you could be on like the reel that they show, you know, like at the beginning of the class. Did you like, I mean, again, I know these are the lamest questions of all time, but like, did you ever see like the underground tunnel or whatever that they take like to get from place to place?
I didn't. That's honestly my one regret, that I didn't get a chance to do that. I did get to see behind the scenes areas of some of the parks, that when we would work events in the parks, like one of the races goes through Epcot. And I remember I had to get there to be ready at the finish line for when it was over. And so, you know, you're parking sort of in the, you know, the backstage areas and walking back through there. So I did see some of that, but I never got to see the tunnels. That is my one and only regret from my time there. And my one sort of bucket list thing, that someday, somehow I'm going to figure out a way to do that.
Well, someday it'll happen for you, Casey. You mentioned playing there. You're a Dallas legend, a Dallas Athletic legend in your own right. Is that correct?
I don't know if I'd call it that, but if you want to call it that, I'm okay with it.
Well, Casey, thank you so much for taking the time to join us, talking about Gerald McCoy. I'm sure your life is going to be very busy for the foreseeable future with Brady and the uniforms and everything. It's going to be a lot of fun. Now that I think about it, the Bucks are kind of like a theme park, because like, they have the pirate ship and everything. So it sounds like you're sort of tailor-made for them. Enjoy your books. Stay safe in the quarantine, and we'll hope to catch up with you soon enough.
Awesome. Thanks. I appreciate it. And yeah, after, you know, I interned for the Cowboys a couple of years when I was still from there, and getting to be on a Cowboys podcast is still kind of cool for the native Texan. So I appreciate it.
All right, guys, time to break the fourth wall just a little bit. As soon as we finished recording, Casey told me she had an awesome story to share about former Dallas Cowboys head coach Wade Phillips. So we say, you know what? Let's do it. Let's get back in the recording booth. So here is Casey telling that story and the rest of our conversation.
So I got to intern for the Cowboys two different summers when I was in college. Once was as a marketing intern at training camp in San Antonio.
That's where I live.
Lived there. Oh, well, there you go. Even better. So yeah, so we lived there. I lived in a hotel on the Riverwalk for a month. Got to know that area real well. And I remember one day after training camp, all of us interns decided to do like a 7-on-7 game on the field once everything was over. And so we're out there, we're playing, and I end up getting to catch this like 40-yard pass for a touchdown that would like basically win the game for us. And I was so fired up. And the other team is starting to try to argue that either, like, I don't remember what they were saying, like I stepped out of bounds or something like that. And all of a sudden from the side, we just hear, "Hey," and we turn around and look, and there's Wade Phillips in his golf cart. And we're like, oh my gosh, we're about to get in trouble for being out here. Like, is it even okay that we're on the field? Oh my gosh, like, we're all terrified. And instead, he just looks over at us and he just puts his arms up in the touchdown motion from golf cart. And I was like, yes, like we were like so excited. And then the next day we were all in the like cafeteria area where everybody eats. And I see Wade Phillips sitting down with some of the other coaches. And he was like, hey, come over here. And he calls me over to the table. And he says to the other coaches, he's like, this is the football player I was telling you guys about. Which at that moment, like my pride was just like, through the roof, like this, I can't believe this is amazing. And I just remember that how cool it was. He didn't have to do any of that. He didn't have to stop. He didn't have to call me over. And you know, at that moment, as a 19-year-old girl working in the NFL for the first time, it really was this moment that made me feel like I could belong, that I could make it in this field, I could make it in the NFL. And it really has stuck with me ever since then, that it just was such a kind and special moment that it forever made me have a special place in my heart for the Cowboys, for Wade, for all of that experience. And it was actually pretty cool because I'd never really gotten to thank him for that or tell him that I didn't really see him again once we were there. And then I ran into him at the combine. I think it was a year ago, 2 years ago, when he was with the Rams. And I was talking to the Rams PR guy and I was like, hey, like, would you actually mind introducing me over to Wade? Like, I want to thank him for something. So I got to go up to him at the combine and tell him the whole story and tell him how much it had meant to me. And he talked about how he absolutely remembered it and all that. So I just, that will forever have a special place in my heart.
That's really cool. I think like people tend to talk about like things like Twitter and how they're like a toxic place often. And I mean, I'm not saying that there's none of that out there, but I'm a believer that you get out of what, you know, those things, what you put into them. And it sounds like, you know, you've had the right things put into your career. And it's amazing how something like that can really mold your perception and your perspective on, you know, the NFL. Because you're right. I mean, you're 19 and that's a really impressionable age. And that is a huge like confidence boost. You know what I mean? Like I'm sure like anytime, you know, like I know like anytime I've gotten a certain interview or I've done this, I mean, like it goes a long way at making you feel like I can do this. Like I can hang, like I'm, and then you have this moment of like, I'm doing it. You know what I mean? Like you and Wade Phillips are best friends. You know what I mean?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, we spend every Christmas together now, but yeah, it really was great. So yeah, that will forever make the Cowboys and Wade Phillips have a special place in my heart.
Well, that's awesome. Hopefully the Cowboys and Bucks meet in the NFC Championship game then. And
exactly.
You know, actually, I did have one more question, and not to take anything away from Casey Phillips and all the hard work that Casey has done, but is there some thought of how monumental a decision from someone else, in this case, Tom Brady, is for your career? I mean, because the reality is that, like, you know, the Buccaneers are this marquee franchise, you know, all of a sudden to a higher degree because of Tom Brady. Like, is that a weird feeling? I don't know any other way to put that.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I thought about how glad I am it's happening at this point in my career and not when I was like 22.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, I feel much more equipped and ready to handle extra attention and pressure from it. And I definitely saw that almost immediately, that this is going to sound silly, but an example is that the day we signed him, I just like put up a photo on Instagram. I was wearing a hat that it said TB on it. I had bought it for Tampa Bay. And I just put up a post saying like, man, I'm even more happy I bought this hat now that it can have double the meeting, you know, welcome Tom Brady, whatever. It got more than double the amount of likes I'd ever had on any other photo. And there wasn't anything all that special about this photo. Like, it just was the fact that it was about Tom Brady signing. And I just was like, oh my gosh. And I mean, it just, we've seen this flood of people paying attention to our coverage of it. And, you know, of course, wanting to buy his jersey, wanting to buy season tickets. And that's one of the amazing things about him that he brings to a team, is he brings excitement. You signed the GOAT and yeah, people are going to be fired up. And, I mean, yeah, I'm excited for the extra attention, not so much for me on a personal level. It's not really why I do this. Mm-hmm. I'm more just excited for everyone with our franchise, from the business side to the front office, to the coaching staff, to the players. They've already been wonderful people putting so much effort in that sometimes, because we are a smaller market, may not have gotten as much attention. And now finally, all their hard work, I feel like, is going to be more recognized by everyone else. So that's the part that makes me excited.
That's really cool. Okay, I promise this is my absolute last one, because I'm gonna guess that this bothered you, because it would bother me. And I know you guys put out the disclaimer and everything, but when Chris Godwin changed his number, like, on what level were you like, oh, we already did all the stuff? Like, because that would bother me. I mean, it was fabulous. Don't get me wrong. But I just that would have picked at me, if I'm being perfectly honest.
Yeah, it was. Thankfully, I was not the person that had anything to do with making that video, but I know for the guy who that video had been his brainchild and his effort, his name is Josh Warner, and he did a great job with it. But I know for him, it was like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, of all the people we picked to do this video and of all the people to end up meeting, because of course, when we shot that, we had no idea Tom Brady was coming here. Like, no idea whatsoever. We shot this back, I think it was like, gosh, I don't know, the beginning of March, like the very beginning or the end of February, even, like, I don't remember exactly when we did it, but it was definitely before that was a thing, and had no way of knowing that would happen. And yeah, as soon as I, like, that was one of my first thoughts whenever we realized he's coming and everyone starts being like, oh man, what's Chris Godwin going to do? And then I immediately went to, oh no, what's our video going to do? Because frankly, if it was, you know, not Corona times, we probably could have just at least reshot it with Chris, because all the photos, it's fine. You can Photoshop it and it doesn't matter. But the video, you can't really do anything about. And maybe would have been able to reshoot with Chris, but obviously now that wasn't an option regardless. So I'm sure there was discussions of how do we handle this, and it just had to end up being a disclaimer because there wasn't really anything else we could do. But hey, it still showed off that 12 jersey that's still going to be worn. So either way, people got to see it.
No, absolutely. I mean, it's really cool. And I think the white is my favorite. I don't know. I'm reserving judgment till I see the pewter. Again, I'm really looking forward to that under some bright lights. Casey, thank you again for taking the time. Be well. And maybe rewatch the Imagineers documentary, you know, because there's never enough of that. You know what I mean?
Never enough.
Thank you so much. And have a great day. We'll talk to you soon enough.
Awesome. Thanks.
Big time thanks to Casey for taking the time to join us on Twitter, as she mentioned. As Joe McCoy is well aware, at Casey Reporting, she does a fantastic job covering the Buccaneers, the best follow there is for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And, you know, she's an awesome follow in general. Give her a follow and show her some love. That was really cool. I personally loved the stuff about Disney World. Again, I've mentioned that documentary before. I, if I'm being honest, there were some things that had kind of jumped it in my list, in terms of all streaming platforms, but I got to finish it now. I've got to get to the episode she was talking about because that stuff is fascinating. And if you don't agree, well, whatever. I forgive you. Anyway, that about does it for Thursday's episode. Tomorrow on Friday, NFL Media's Adam Rank is going to join us. He wrote something last week, kind of redoing the first round of the 2017 NFL draft, and the things he did, the places he put certain players, I thought was really fascinating in terms of the ripple effect it would have had for the Cowboys. Obviously, the miss on TJ Watt is, or with Taco Charlton, I should say, and in terms of TJ Watt is something the Cowboys are still feeling here in 2020. So very, very interested to see what Rank has to say about all of that. Thanks again to Casey. Thanks to you for downloading and subscribing. Make sure you do subscribe to the Blog of the Boys podcast feed wherever you get podcasts. We offer you two shows every single day. All right, we give you the Ocho every morning to start your day off with all the latest headlines, all the latest news, all the latest whatever's going on in the world of America's team. And then we've got different shows to give you different analysis. And who knows what we got cooking up our sleeve. You know, things are about to get fun. So you do me a favor, all right? You have the absolute best Thursday of all time. You know why? Because you deserve it. We will see you mañana, my friends. As always, go Cowboys and peace out.
Support for this show comes from Pendo. Pendo improves the apps your customers and employees rely on. Whether you're building applications for customers or managing applications for employees, Pendo can help deliver better experiences for your users so they can get more value from your software. Pendo also provides AI-powered product analytics that fuel in-app guides to deliver personalized guidance to customers directly inside your app. Visit pendo.io/podcast to learn more about how your team can use Pendo to start building better digital experiences. There, you can also check out Pendo's lineup of free certification courses, 12 hours of in-depth training for your product management teams on topics from AI to product analytics to product-led growth. That's pendo.io/podcast to learn more. Pendo. Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure, it's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.